Saturday Live with Carol Dooley on Dublin's new place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8.
Now, how are you feeling? How are you feeling mentally? We all go through periods where we feel a bit down, a bit anxious. But wait until you hear the story that our next guest is going to share with you. I'm very happy to introduce Linda Culledon to you. Linda is from Meath. And Linda, you battled anxiety, which then turned into what I can only describe as acute and extreme OCD. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, take us back to the beginning. Where did this all begin? Where did it all start going wrong for you?
I had a period of time feeling very anxious. I was in a job that I didn't like. It wasn't for me. It wasn't just about the job. The role wasn't for me. And the anxiety kind of crept up really, really high. And I didn't deal with it. I was dealing with it like in terms of the normal way we deal with stress, go out and have a few drinks the weekend or, you know, the usual.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that crept into just getting so stressed, so anxious, not knowing where to turn, didn't want to do what I was doing, just was lost. And then I got then obsessive compulsive disorder from that.
And how did that manifest itself for you?
So there's different forms of OCD.
Yeah.
You know, with the washing hands.
Yes.
I suppose people know that one. It's quite common. For me, the obsessive thoughts was about harming family.
You harming your family?
Yeah.
Or your family being
me
harmed?
Me harming my family.
Really?
Yeah.
That must have been very scary.
Yeah, it was awful. It was really, really hard.
So what did you think you were going to do?
Any kind of harm, you know, just to these thoughts, really irrational thoughts. And the more you have them, the more your anxiety gets really out of control.
And were you aware at the time, Linda, that there's something really wrong here? I'm having these thoughts. Maybe I'm going mad. Or did it seem that to you that they were almost, that you could almost justify them because of everything else that was going on?
No, I really couldn't. I thought I was definitely going mad. You know, I thought that I've lost actually control of myself because no one expects to ever think these kind of things. And I suppose because it is so frightening and you feel an awful lot of guilt because you love your family so much unconditionally, so it's so bizarre. And because it is such a bizarre thought, the guilt just escalates and then it becomes a vicious circle where your anxiety gets really high and the thought comes back again. It's just the form of the illness in itself.
So over what time period from when you started to suffer from anxiety did it actually seriously develop into this what seems like quite an extreme form of OCD?
Yeah, I'm not really sure the times of for anxiety. I suppose we all suffer from anxiety now and again, you know, with work and stuff. Maybe for about 3 years the anxiety would have been there, and then it really kicked off when I got the OCD. It soared, you know.
And while that was all going on, were you still able to live a kind of a semi-normal life? Were you still getting up and going to work?
Yeah, but it was affecting my work as well. There was days where I wouldn't have gone in. Yeah, it was pretty miserable, you know, because when these thoughts come in, I'm sure you understand that if it's something so irrational, it's going to create very low moods, and it's going to create a sense of withdrawing in yourself and various other like anxiety symptoms where I'd have a feeling of dread kind of running through me. Just, and I knew there were just anxiety, but it was kind of like it was with me all the time. The only time I got relief was when I was sleeping, you know. So that was for a period of time.
And were your family aware about what was going on with you? And were they aware then when it developed into the OCD about possibly or potentially harming them?
Yeah, well, they knew that I wasn't particularly happy in my life for a period of time with my role in my career. And but I kind of kept pushing myself anyway. You know, the way we kind of were conditioned a bit to think that when we do something in our life, in a career, we kind of maybe should stay in that position.
What were you working at the time, if you don't mind me?
I was an accountant.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but it wasn't... but still a certain amount of stress.
Yeah, but it wasn't... It was never the job, you know, or it was never the stress. It was just... It wasn't something for me. And I feel like
you were
I
like
knew
a square peg in a round hole.
I feel
really.
Like I knew that all along, but I kind of pushed myself that way anyway because it was kind of what I'd done in college. So, you know, the way we have this perception of what we should do. So then, yeah, I didn't tell them for a period of time. They knew kind of I was a bit anxious, but when the OCD came, I didn't tell anyone for a period of time because I was very guilty, you know. It's not something you want to turn around and say to anyone that, you know, you fear that you might harm them when you're taught that you just seem to, you're just trying to get rid of. And the more you try to get rid of it, the more your brain brings it back to it as being very important. So it's going to highlight it even more.
And what's the thought of harming your family? Did that come from some kind of control? Did you think on some level, if I harm my family, I'll be able to get my life back, or I'll be able to get some control? Because I'm just trying to get my head around how you were feeling. You know,
I think a lot with OCD, it stems from a lot of fear. And to be honest, people that do suffer from OCD, even, you know, any type of fear, even the form of the obsessive thoughts, these people are the least likely people to harm anybody. And that's why it affects them so much, you know, because they can't just drop anything like this. It's very common that people might have a thought. People think weird and wacky things. And no one can be 100% sure of their thoughts every day. And if someone thinks a specific thought, they could be like, oh, that's just mad. I don't know why I'm thinking that. Maybe you watch some horror film or something and the next day it could flash into your mind. But with OCD, the illness is that it just attaches on and we can't let go. And we create it to be like a massive big thing in our life. That's why it causes such distress, you know.
It must have been absolutely horrendous for you.
Yeah, it was very tough. Yeah.
So what time frame are we talking about here? When was all this going on in your life, Linda?
So about the OCD came about 2 years ago. The anxiety was prior to that, you know.
And how long was the OCD going on for before you either had a light bulb moment that said something has to change here, or did somebody come to you and say, Linda, we think you're in trouble?
No, it was for myself. I realised there was something wrong, you know. I didn't feel myself. As I said, I kept it to myself for a period of time, but I just couldn't keep to myself any longer, you know. I was suffering.
Were you ever afraid of being alone with a member of your family in case you did actually do
something? I wasn't. I like, I knew I wouldn't, but the feelings that came about, the physical and emotional feelings that it brought, it still made it very tough. My rational side was kicking in and saying, no, you're not going to do that, but I'd be constantly questioning it. So it was like having a little discussion about this, you know what I mean? Like 1 minute saying, no, you're not going to do it, and then the thought coming in and it just getting stronger, and then the physical emotions that it brought, anxiety and the feeling of dread and worry and just distress it caused overall, you know.
So what happened then, or when did it happen, and how did it happen that you made the decision yourself to, okay, enough of this, something has got to change here for the better?
Yeah, well, because I was getting quite upset over the whole issue, where I was getting very low moods, and, you know, I didn't want to be around people, and I just didn't feel myself, you know. So I went to a doctor and I, you know, told them about the issue, and they said, okay, well, you're going to have to try medication, you know, for this, especially for the anxiety, you know. So I got the medication, but I actually didn't take it. I just kept it at home. And it's kind of like a security blanket that, you know, I know it's there if things really get bad, where I feel really bad.
But it sounds to me like you were feeling quite bad. So why didn't you take it?
I don't know. I just felt like I'm going to try another way. There was just something in me that was... Look, I was very close over and over again. Like, I was tempted. But I just was trying to think to myself, you know what, I'm just going to see if there's another way.
Okay. And in the meantime, while you had the medication at home that you weren't taking, were your symptoms getting worse? Were they staying the same? What was going on with
them? They were the same. Yeah, probably getting worse at this stage. Then I went to a psychologist, and I suppose anyone knows that they went to kind of therapy or anything. You might go through a few psychologists until you get the one where you feel like you can relate to, you know. So I went to a few psychologists, and I got the education behind the thoughts. So I got the CBT. Cognitive behavioural therapy. So I got the education when this thought came into my mind, what was actually happening. The adrenaline was being released in my body, which was causing the anxiety, these physical symptoms, you know. So I knew the education behind it, but when it did happen, it didn't ease the suffering and the pain that came with them. So I did have good days. I was kind of coming and going. So my search was still going on. So I went to see healers, and I was kind of open to anything that was going to William, you know, that's going to try and give me some relief.
Saturday Live with Carol Dooley on Dublin's new place to relax. Sunshine
106.8. And if you just joined us, we're chatting this afternoon with Linda Culleton, a lady from Meath who suffered from anxiety and acute OCD. And we were chatting there, Linda, about everything that you went through. You decided not to use medication. You wanted to go the natural way. And then you discovered Kundalini yoga. What exactly is that?
So Kundalini yoga is the yoga of awareness, brought to the West by a guy named Yogi Bhajan in about 1960. It works on various different levels. Like, all yoga comes from the same source, you know. There's just different ways of getting there. It's very meditative. So it's spiritual, we have physical, and we have mental exercise, which is the meditation. So incorporates physical postures with a lot of breath work, like breath of fire, which you're using your navel point to actually breathe forcefully through your nose. So every class you'll come in and you'll have the physical exercises with the breathing techniques.
Are these typical yoga postures that you would do?
Yeah, they would be. It could be held for like a period of time, 5 minutes in a specific posture, doing breath work as well with that posture.
So is there an element of sort of tantric or tantra in this as well?
Then we always end with a meditation. And there's like thousands of meditations. So you can have a meditation for self-esteem, for anxiety, for stress, for creativity, for, you know, there's always positive things as well as can be for numerous different meditations. But for me, when I came across it first, I was thinking, God, what's this, you know? But when I started doing it, the feeling I got took away that's our ego telling us this is a bit strange, or, you know, say the meditation could be 11 minutes. So we're repeating a specific word for a period of 11 minutes. And the process of doing this, the tongue is stimulating the roof, the palate of the mouth. And on the palate of the mouth, there's 84 meridian points. And meridian points are like energy channels. And by our tongue stimulating the roof of our mouth, it's sending signals up to the pituitary gland and the hypothalamus in the brain. And it's releasing various hormones and changing our brain chemistry. So that's why people feel when they do any of these kind of exercises, you feel an overall sense of bliss and a sense of being uplifted. So that's the key to the Kundalini yoga.
And how did you get to Kundalini yoga in the first place? Because there's so many types of yoga.
Yeah.
What was it about this that attracted you?
Yeah, well, as you said, I'm from Mead, and there is a yoga festival on there every year in Manalty, and it's Kundalini yoga based. There's various other types as well. And I just went into a Kundalini yoga class. I'd never tried yoga, and I was feeling really stressed that day, anxious. And I come out and I was like, whoa, I don't really know what that is, but I actually feel really good. So I was living in Dublin at the time, so I found classes and I started going weekly to classes, and I got relief. I got some relief from the anxiety. Definitely I knew I had found something in this.
And how often would you be going then?
I go once a week. I went religiously for a year, once a week, wouldn't miss a class.
Right.
Yeah.
And where has that taken you in your own life?
So now...
I'm assuming you're no longer an accountant.
No. for my own purposes.
Your own peace
of
mind,
my own business. So now I'm a Kundalini yoga and meditation teacher. I work specifically with mental health. That's the kind of passion, the passionate area I'm drawn to work with people that do suffer from, or even promoting mental well-being, you know. And I also work with special needs yoga. Since I started the Kundalini yoga, I did get some relief from the anxiety. I had good days and bad days, but the obsessive compulsive disorder was still there.
Yeah.
So I decided to take the plunge and become the teacher. And I started researching, because I knew there were so many meditations. I started researching one for specifically for OCD, because this was the main thing in my life that was a block there from me moving forward. And I found a specific technique called OCD breath. And it was basically a guy in America, he's a scientist, and he took some of these teachings by Yogi Bhajan, the guy that brought this to the West. He started doing scientific research on it, and he'd done two clinical trials. He took a group of people with specific OCD, and it's not just OCD, there is technique for anything. It's just for me, the one for OCD was what I wanted, but there's ones for addictions, depression, insomnia, anything that's a challenge in someone's life, there's a meditation for it. So I started working with this, and I seen the results he got. He took a group of people and he done clinical trials on them and measured them against medication, CBT, and doing the therapy as well.
Right. So can I ask you, what kind of a meditation is it? A silent meditation?
Breath work.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you know, but the left nostril has a nerve ending that's relating to relaxation and calming. And what we would have done for the OCD breath, we'd close off the right nostril and we'd inhale only through the left. We hold the breath, we exhale through the left, and we hold out the breath. And the aim is to get up to 15 seconds per segment. So that's a 1 minute breath. Now it's a period of time to build up to that. Obviously it could take you 6 months, it could take you longer. I knew I was getting some relief from this even when I started, and I think I started off at 5 seconds. So you can imagine how long it takes to get up to that. But I was determined to get there, you know.
The effects of it then, the positive effects for you with OCD. Tell me how that has affected you.
Yeah, so the positive effects were just unbelievable, amazing. Like, it actually changed my life for the better in a number of different things. Really, really calmed the OCD down, the anxiety calmed down. And in general, I found just the techniques in Kundalini yoga in general just increases vitality, reduces stress, gives you a different, I suppose, outlook on life. You're just more joyous about life and looking forward and very creative and confident. So it instills a lot of good feel factors into your life.
So Linda, are you still suffering? I mean, are you still battling with the anxiety and the OCD?
No.
Or has everything changed for you?
Yeah, everything has changed. It's a different perspective. And that's why I'm so passionate and on here today to give this message to people that may be in the similar situation I was in. I'm not saying medication has its place, but there is an alternative. There is another way. And Passion Now, I'm setting up specific classes around the country for people with OCD and anxiety, where we're going to have a program maybe running for 16 weeks. And I take a group of people and we learn the exercises. I'll actually share the exercises and people will build up to this level where they can go home and then practice in their own environment. That's my vision going forward, is setting these programs up for people, because OCD is one of the top 10 illnesses that's so disabling on people, and there's very little relief, only medication. And medication, I don't know, I can't say, I haven't experienced how I was with that.
Well, I think as with anything, and the thing is that if you can cure yourself through a natural method, then there's nothing better than that, really, is there?
Yeah.
Well, I wish you the very best of luck. I think it's fabulous. Are you continuing as a Kundalini teacher as well? Because that's a form of yoga, I think, that anybody can do, regardless of what's going on.
I do teach. I teach in Dublin and Beaumont, and I teach in Kingscourt in Cavan. So, yeah, this meditation, the techniques, even for OCD and anxiety, they're all Kundalini yoga stemmed anyway. But I still run the classes for the general public, just for general yoga and meditation, relaxation, and improving your life.
And would you say, Linda, just based on your own experiences, and particularly now your experiences of yoga, I mean, we all get anxious, every single one of us, whether or not it turns into anxiety or crippling, debilitating anxiety is another thing. But do you believe now that your breath, if you can just get that right, that maybe we should all start actually taking notice of our breathing and how to breathe properly?
Yes, the breath is key, and that's why I always start with people to become conscious of their breathing. Because if you're feeling, you know yourself, you're feeling very stressed, your breathing will always be very shallow. If you just sit down, and even 3 times a day, 4 times a day, whenever you can, put your hands in your tummy and just check in with yourself and breathe, and just come out of your mind, because we're very much into thinking. Our mind never seems to give us time to actually just be. So the awareness, bring it out of your mind and put it into your body. Become grounded, put your hands in your tummy, breathe for like 2 minutes, 3 times a day, and just sense how that's feeling for yourself, and it'll just allow your mind just to become a little bit calmer and allow your different changes to take place in your body that will enhance your well-being.
Okay, fantastic. Linda Colleton, thank you so
much.
Thank you. If you want any more information, by the way, you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, my Facebook page is Feel Good Yoga and Meditation, and I'm on Twitter as well, at feelgood_yoga.
Can I just say congratulations, because you've come through a lot and you've actually taken yourself through that journey, a very difficult journey, absolutely, from what you've told us. And now here you are.
Thank you very
teaching
much.
It and trying to help other people. So they say sometimes out of a bad experience, something good comes
out of
that. Of
course, yes, and I definitely believe that.
Yes, well, that's worked for you. So the very best of luck with the
yoga.
Thank
you for having me.
And in fact, you can check out more on Linda's Facebook page. She has a retreat in August in Wicklow, the 12th, 13th and 14th of August, Facebook Awake Retreats, or you can call her on 087-062-9703 if you are suffering and you'd like to be pointed in the right direction.